everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace, and it's time for another Secret Wars Saturday. And I really got to tell you guys, Manny and I really appreciate all the support. Numbers have been climbing lately.
Oh, yeah.
And specifically on Secret Wars Saturday episodes, you guys are loving the nostalgia. And I'm sure there's plenty of readers out there like Manny himself who've never read this, and they're enjoying the fact that this story holds up. It's a classic, rightly so. So really appreciate it. If you're enjoying the Secret Wars Saturday episodes, tweet it out, put it on your social media, tell a friend. We really appreciate the support, and you guys are all really enjoying it. And honestly, that's why we do it. That's why Manny and I do this podcast. So we can share our love of comics, and you need to be sharing that love of comics too. So we really, really appreciate it. That being said, just real quick, haven't done this in a few Marvel Chronology episodes. The way we got involved with doing the Marvel Chronology and starting out with Secret Wars, the Cliff Notes version, I wanted to get back into Marvel, fell off the bandwagon many, many, many moons ago after Civil War came out, and stumbled across this chronology on a website from a guy named the Comic Book Herald, and the link is in the show notes. And I thought, what better way to get back into Marvel than reading Jonathan Hickman's Secret Wars, which was the event that started in 2015 and I think ended last week. Now, it wasn't that late, but it definitely ran a little long. But be that as it may, wanted to get back in, wanted to know what Hickman was all about, heard great things about his run on Fantastic Four leading into his Secret Wars event. And then I found out that even before that, he had an Avengers run, and basically everything that Jonathan Hickman wrote at Marvel was all leading up to that Secret Wars event. So I'm like, man, I need to read the whole thing. Well, if I'm going to read that whole Secret Wars thing, then why not go back further and further and further? And so I Googled like Secret Wars chronology, and I came across this website, as I said, Comic Book Herald, Secret Wars chronology with every prelude leading to the first Secret War, and then the issues that kind of dealt with the aftermath of the first Marvel superhero Secret Wars, and then Secret Wars 2 and all those tie-ins, and then Secret Wars 3, which was actually a story arc in Fantastic Four. And again, link in the show notes. You can go and check it out. And just the fact that it spans from the mid-80s all the way up to, you know, 2015, I was like, yeah, this is going to be a snapshot of all these different eras of Marvel, and it's going to get me caught up to what's going on now through all the reboots and restarts and all new, all different .1 and all that stuff. And I'll feel like I have a good handle. And as a bonus, Manny has not read a lot of this classic Marvel stuff. And so it's been really enjoyable for us to go back and revisit these mid-80s titles. You know, the preludes include things like Uncanny X-Men, Captain America, Avengers. And so it's some of them tend to be a little of their time, a little wordy, and they don't hold up quite as well as the actual Secret Wars miniseries itself has. But like I said, we're really enjoying it. And we hope you're all enjoying it too. And as I said, if the numbers are any indication, you certainly are. So this episode is all about issue 6. The creative team, really quick, written by Jim Shooter. Pencils on this issue are by Mike Zeck. Inks are by John Beatty. And colors by Christy Scheel. So another classic cover. You know, issue 5 was all about the X-Men. The X-Men were on the cover. They were the main focus. This issue is all about the villains. We've got Galactus in the background, and then we've got the villains from Doom's team in the foreground looking very ferocious. Volcana, Dr. Octopus, Wrecker and his wrecking crew, Absorbing Man, Titania, Lizard, Ultron, and Doom himself. It's a very classic cover for sure. So
no Molecule Man, though.
What's that?
No Molecule Man, though.
Oh, you're right. There is no Molecule Man.
Yeah, how are you going to put Claw in there and not Molecule Man?
I was just about to say Claw himself is in there, but no Molecule Man. Interesting. I never noticed that before. That's a good call, Manny. All right. So as the issue starts, we see Wasp, who actually didn't appear in the last issue, but she's yelling for help. She's driving the vehicle that she used to escape Magneto's base. And she's complaining about how you need 5 tentacles or 2.5 chauffeurs to drive this thing. She ends up crashing, has a little scrape on her forehead, breaks a nail, and complains that her manicurist is 37 trillion miles away and it's her day off anyway. And she doesn't even have an emery board. First world problems for sure.
Oh, yeah.
As she does kind of tumble around the cockpit, she bumps into a switch and it kind of shows a holographic map with a little dot. And for lack of anywhere better to go, she decides to head for that dot. But before she does, she shrinks to her Wasp size and flies out and decides to put that thing out of its misery, her trusty steed, as she calls it, blows it up with a Wasp sting, and then flies across the landscape, remarking about how quickly and abruptly the terrain changes. But, you know, it makes sense being that she watched the Beyonder put the patchwork planet together out of chunks of hundreds of other worlds, and she still doesn't believe it. So when she gets to the spot, or what she believes to be the spot that was blinking on the map, there doesn't really seem to be anything there. But she does grow to full size, saying that, well, at least it'll take her a lot longer to be eaten by all the big bugs around, because when she was flying there, she did see some blue and green bees that she had to zap. And actually, what else she finds when she gets there is the lizard. And we haven't actually seen the lizard, Kurt Connors, classic Spider-Man foe. We haven't actually seen him for a long time, since the very first issue. And he kind of attacks her in a way, like he throws rocks at her, but doesn't really hit her. Has a chance to attack her and kind of doesn't. He's more threatening her than actually attacking her. And then as we turn the page, we actually switch to Galactus's ship. We know that issue 5 ended with Doom seeing something that really caught his eye on Galactus's ship, and we learn what it is in this issue. There was a strong vibratory energy that his armor's built-in sensors detected kind of flowing through the walls of Galactus's ship, and he's able to use an alien console and reconstitute that vibratory energy. And what he finds is it reconstitutes as Claw, the master of sound. I don't know a whole lot about Claw, other than he is made of living sound, and he's had very different personalities throughout the years. He's been a foe of the Fantastic Four, been an arch nemesis of the Black Panther, and he's fought Captain America at times as well. And so Doom's like, Claw, that's really not what I was expecting. What are you doing in the home of Galactus? Answer me, fool, he says. Speak, so commands Dr. Doom. And Doom's like, wow, I've managed to recreate a raving lunatic. And Claw kind of gives us the recap. He fought Dazzler, apparently, at one point. Dazzler, who is a mutant who absorbs sound and can then fire it back out, reuse it as light and energy. So basically she went to absorb sound, Claw's living sound. She absorbed him. She absorbed his being. And then later fired all that energy off at Galactus, and it was basically dispersed in Galactus's ship. And Claw has been trapped there ever since until Doom reconstituted him. And Doom's like, yeah, all right, I got no use for you. That's lame. Be gone. But Claw still follows him. Like, what are you up to? What are you looking for? Galactus heads to the monitor room of Galactus' ship, and he sees Galactus still working on this apparatus that he's creating in preparations to devour the planet. He checks in on the heroes, sees that they're battered and battle-weary, and in their current condition, Galactus could crush them in mere seconds. The X-Men and Magneto, nah, that's not really what I want. He sees his own villainous pawns limping back to the fortress after their last battle where they were thrashed by the X-Men. He's like, how can I turn this situation to my advantage? So, next screen we see is there's actually some volcanic activity on the far side of the planet. And he says that he must send some instructions to his team. And so he gives Claw the message and then beams Claw down to the planet, to his base. And Claw appears in the Doom base and gives the password, as it were. And Titania is like, save it, pal. I'm not taking orders from some crazy lunatic. Not going to happen. I'm just going to break you in half. And Ultron's like, nope. He gave the Doom password. These orders clearly come from Doom. We're going to do what he says. Then we switch back to Wasp in the swamp with the Lizard, and she realizes, wow, he could have hit me, but he didn't. So he's probably just posturing, and she's actually able to make friends with him. She sees that he's wounded, and she bandages up his wounds and says, come on, let's you and me stick together. Meanwhile, the X-Men have returned to Magneto's fortress, which half of the fortress is demolished thanks to the psychic backlash that we saw last issue from Magneto and Professor X trying to probe Galactus's mind. And while the X-Men start to clean up, Professor X is like, I must attend to other matters, but what he really is going to do is to rest. He's going back to his chambers to kind of have some peace and quiet. And he's thinking about how his new legs really aren't quite strong enough yet. And maybe he should still be using his wheelchair. But then he thinks, no, I don't want to show weakness. But while I'm resting, I can kind of scope out the planet telepathically. So he kind of reads the minds of the villains and sees what's going on there before Enchantress senses that he's there and basically shuts him down. But he's already managed to glean the fact that Doom is sending a contingent of his troops to the far side of the planet to do something with the volcanoes on that side. And he sends Cyclops, Rogue, and Wolverine to observe Doom's team and stop them if they deem it necessary. Rogue is not happy. She says, I've had enough of this. And she flies into Professor X's room. She's like, I will speak with you and you will listen. Professor X is like, you need to control yourself. Your anger is disrupting the weather patterns. Cyclops won't be able to take off. She's like, I don't care. Let them wait. I'm the leader of the X-Men. I did not order them to take off. Professor X is like, hold on. So what am I, just the aged training officer? And Rogue responds, you're an excellent tutor. Leave the war to the warriors. Professor X is like, I'm not having that. Forget about the doubts. I'm the one giving the orders. I will not rest unless the X-Men are obeying me. As loath as I am to tamper with other minds, I will not tolerate insubordination, mutiny, or desertion. So again, I have to go back to the fact that it just doesn't feel like the Professor X that I know. He would never even consider that, regardless of insubordination. He leads by inspiration, not by the hammer, not by, you know, forcing people to do his will. But yet that's the way Shooter portrays him here. Anyway, back at the village, the heroes are repairing the damage done to the village by the battle with the villains in the last episode. And we see Colossus is still recovering from his injuries. He's not able to really help with the repairs. And he's having a hard time thinking about Kitty because his thoughts keep being distracted by Zaji, the healer of the village that seems to have some budding relationship with Human Torch. And as he's thinking, I will be true to Kitty, I will be true to Kitty, Zaji actually shows up to give him another treatment of healing. And he just gives in. He's like, man, you are the most beautiful, most wonderful woman ever. And he's thinking, I must seem a fool in your eyes. And then here comes Human Torch to sweep her off her feet. And way up in the sky, turns off the flame. They, you know, free fall, flames back on at the last minute. She seems very excited, and we just see the expression on Colossus's face like, wah, wah, wah. Clearly, a big, giant loser is how he's feeling. Meanwhile, we see Captain America and the rest of the heroes doing some planning as far as attacking Galactus. Captain America saying, we've got to hit him as hard as possible from as many angles as we can. We've got to destroy that machine before Galactus devours the planet. And She-Hulk's like, what about Wasp? Hold on, She-Hulk. Colossus told us that she left Magneto's lair. She's probably okay. She's probably searching for us. Captain Marvel, rather, has done some searching for her. But, you know, we need to keep our priorities. We don't have time to go out on vendettas. We've got to do what we got to do. And She-Hulk's like, Magneto's a criminal. He's a murderer. He's a creep. Like, no, we don't have time for that. We need to focus on, you know, our survival. Meanwhile, Shooter flips back and forth between a few different heroes, kind of giving us their perspective, where they're at. Hawkeye's making arrows. Spider-Man talks about the fact he doesn't have web shooters anymore. Iron Man's complaining about headaches. And then we switch to the Doom team reaching the volcanic side of the planet. And they head to a crater. As the X-Men show up, there's a battle. Wolverine gets smashed by a boulder, which really seems out of place for Wolverine. Seems like he would be able to dodge that. There's a fight. Wolverine gets back in it. He's like, I'm going to kill Molecule Man. He's clearly in berserker mode. And actually, Cyclops is the one that stops him. Hits him with an optic beam and actually injures Wolverine, so that he doesn't cut clean through Molecule Man. But Molecule Man is very, very badly injured. The villains have to beat a hasty retreat. Titania, Dr. Octopus, Absorbing Man, they jump back in their ship. They leave as soon as they can. And Wolverine is beside himself. He's so furious with Cyclops. He's like, you lily-livered excuse for... And Cyclops is like, listen, Wolverine, if you want to be on your side or be on our side, you don't kill. Never take anyone's life under any circumstances, ever. And then they head back over to the crater that the villains were heading towards. And for some reason, Cyclops decides, why would Doom resort to such an elaborate scheme to deal with us as, sending his team over to the far side of the planet with all this volcanic activity? And I think Cyclops kind of understands what's going on and decides, you know what? I'm going to fire on this volcano. And as soon as he fires on it, sure enough, it causes a chain reaction, and half that side of the planet is completely exploding in volcanic eruptions. We get back to the swamp on the next page, where the Wasp has managed to bandage up the lizard, and the lizard apologizes for attacking her. And just as they kind of make peace, we see Wasp is blasted through the chest by a laser beam, and it's the Wrecker and his wrecking crew in some giant transport. They've been out there looking for the lizard. They find him. They catch him in a stasis beam along with Wasp's corpse, as they say, and they're going to bring the lizard back to the Doom base, but they're going to drop the Wasp's body off along the way. And then we come to the final page of the issue. It's Galactus on top of the mountain, his world solar system size ship in the background. His machine for helping him devour the planet is nearly completed, and the heroes are preparing to attack. And She-Hulk tells Captain America, just give me the word, Cap, and I'll go up there and beat the heck out of his ankle. And in the last panel, we see a shadowy figure in the foreground. As Captain America says, very funny, She-Hulk, but no thanks. For now, we wait and watch. And the next issue, Berserker, issue 7. So that's issue 6 in a nutshell. I mentioned last episode, issue 5 was an interesting issue in that more than half the pages were devoted to action, and yet it felt like a setup issue. And in this issue, there's not a whole lot of action, except for the fight between the X-Men and the, and I shouldn't even say the X-Men, it's because it's just Rogue, Cyclops, and Wolverine against the villains of Doom's team that headed over to basically erupt the volcanoes, which Cyclops ended up doing for them anyway. But other than that, this issue is a lot of setup as well. So again, it's the peaks and valleys of Secret Wars, but we do get some progression in the story. We see that the heroes are really on the defensive. They're really the underdog at this point. Doom seems to have it all going on, seems to have plans within plans, seems to be recruiting even more people like Claw and finding things that, whether that be knowledge or weapons or whatever, aboard Galactus' ship. Whereas the heroes, I mean, Doom's a lot more proactive. The heroes at this point are still reactive. They don't have a plan. It's more just trying to deal with situations as they arrive. The other thing about this issue is it does further some subplots. We see Professor Xavier's, you know, kind of struggle and the internal struggle within the X-Men on who's going to lead them. Is it going to be Storm? Is it going to be Professor X? Is it going to be Cyclops? So that subplot continues, as well as the little bit of more of a minor subplot with Cyclops and his fascination, his infatuation, if you will, with Zaji. So there's that to contend with as well. We see more of Professor X acting a little out of character. He kind of has the whole time. And the other person I feel like that Shooter doesn't have a good handle on is Wolverine. He seems to constantly be in like full-on 100% berserker mode, which just doesn't make sense if you're reading the X-Men comics at the time. Wolverine has grown past that, I feel like, in the comics of the time. But it was good to see Lizard again. And the heroes are, even though they're being reactionary, they are being very true to themselves. I feel like Captain America's team, the characterizations on that side are, they ring very true, as do the characterizations of the villains. So, I mean, Cyclops is still being Cyclops, you know, to the point of injuring Wolverine because he doesn't want him to kill one of the villains. So that rings true as well. But yeah, a little bit more of a setup issue. Probably the slowest issue action-wise since issue one, I would say. There's just really not a whole lot going on. And this issue feels like a very short read as well. Like it goes by really quickly from a reader standpoint, even though there's plenty of dialogue and plenty of exposition. And the only other thing I'll say about issue six is the panel of Colossus looking sorry for himself, but kind of wah expression. Just wow, put that on a shirt and just like, I've had a bad day or so. I mean, it's just, you just feel so bad for the guy. Great job by Mike Zeck. What are your thoughts on issue six, Manny?
It's really interesting because what you mentioned about, you know, Doom having a better handle on the situations and the heroes. The difference, I think, is that Doom has an enforcer in Ultron, and the heroes don't. They're all really busy on actually who's going to be the leader, who's going to, you know, what morals are going to follow. I mean, just so many things that Doom just shut down on the other side. It makes it interesting to see that how good of a leader Dr. Doom really is, because he's gonna get it done, and this is a really, really good issue to show that you know, his way, you know, his way is by force, but looks like it's working. But at the moment, I mean, there's just so many other things going on with the heroes. You would think they'd somehow be able to get it together because they're fighting for the greater good, but it just seems it's not really working out. I mean, you have the X-Men fighting amongst themselves, and I think you're right. I think Wolverine is very much out of character, and it did bug me a little bit, and I'm still trying to figure out the whole thing with the Lizard out there. But I'm actually more anxious to see the next issue, see how this whole Galactus thing kind of plays out.
Yeah, and I think, again, it goes back to Doom has an idea of what's going on. You know, he's not really in it to play the Beyonders game.
Yeah.
So he has a plan. He's like, I'm going to get power no matter what. Whereas the heroes are like, they don't really, it seems like they don't have a long-term plan. Again, they're just being reactionary. They're just dealing with situations as they come up. Like, I feel like if they had an idea, like, okay, in order to get ourselves out of the situation, like, this is what we need to do. I don't think they really have a plan beyond, okay, we need to defeat the villains and, like, lock them up. Okay, and let's assume they're able to do that. Now what? Like, I don't think they have any idea now what. They just don't. So I think that's an advantage to the villains. And then, of course, you know, the villains don't need to be, you know, they don't need to be as careful.
Yeah.
You know, they can do what they will. They don't have to worry about, you know, collateral damage or any of that kind of stuff because, you know, they're villains. So, yeah, I think that's definitely the case. And, you know, Galactus is really kind of the wild card in the whole thing because, you know, if he starts to devour the planet and basically sucks all the life energy into his machine and then into himself, then, I mean, how do you stop that? What do? You know, it's like trying to stop an earthquake or a hurricane. It's completely a force of nature, and your options are limited at that point. So, again, I think the heroes are being far too reactionary. I mean, even at the end, She-Hulk's like, just say the word, Cap, and I'll go there and beat the heck out of his ankle. And Cap's like, yeah. Nah, not yet. Be ready. But for the time being, we wait, we watch. And I mean, really, why do you want to wait, Captain America? You know he's building the machine to help devour the planet. Why would you not want to, like, be preemptive, you know? Go and attack, go destroy it, go do something. But he's Captain America. He's a living legend. He's supposedly a supreme strategist. So who am I to argue with his ability to lead? All right. Anything else you want to add about issue 6, Manny?
Nope. Other than the fact that the disrespect of Molecule Man on that cover.
Maybe they didn't want to, or maybe they're hinting about his demise at the hands of Wolverine. Maybe that's why he's on the cover. All right, everybody. Yeah. Once again, we want to thank you all for joining us. Don't forget, you can go to the Comic Source blog as well as LRM Online for all past episodes of the podcast. Also, twitter.com/thecomicsource is where you can find us on Twitter. Don't forget to do a search for us on Facebook and Instagram. That's where you can find all the latest episode releases as well as our convention coverage. Don't forget that as you're listening to this episode, as we speak, Manny and I, Saturday, January 24th, we are attending the WonderCon convention in
Anaheim. You mean March.
Oh, yeah, that's right. March. I said January. March 23rd through 25th, we are at the Anaheim Convention Center in Anaheim, California. So if you are hearing this on Saturday, Saturday is sold out, but we'll be here tomorrow.
As always.
Sunday as well. So come down, find us, tell us what you think about the podcast. Maybe we'll even record you singing our praises and put you on the podcast to join in all the frivolity. So once again, thanks for joining us, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.